So pets and insurance, they are areas, or at least two areas that our next guest likes, in particular, two smaller cap names that have had tremendous runs so far in 2019. Let's get into that. Chris Brewster is research analyst at Cain Research, joining us on the phone, I believe, from Los Angeles. Nice to have you here, Chris. First of all, let's start with a little bit of the macro story here. Your anticipation of what 2020 will be like. Are you more bullish or bearish?
Thanks, Carol. Thanks for having us. I think that we're more constructive on the setup for 2020. I think that it's been a really good year for equities. There's a laundry list of positives that we're looking at. The consumer is in good shape. Unemployment is low. Trade is moving in the right direction. But despite this, we've seen a record year of outflows for equities. And it's very unusual to see markets at all-time highs and to see, you know, $150 billion or so, I think was the latest figure that I saw, coming out of equities this year.
How do you explain that? Yeah.
I think that speaks to the sentiment and the positioning. I think people are very wary of macro, of headline risk. And in a Strategus poll that I saw recently, I think that the average expectation for next year is growth of 5% with no multiple expansion. But it seems like a lot of things are lining up to where we could see, you know, that kind of surprise to the upside. We're going to climb the wall of worry a little bit with the equity markets. And, you know, I think that it just the sentiment backdrop kind of sets up for additional gains.
Well, I do wonder, too, Chris, how much of it is locking in tremendous gains for the year? I mean, no matter how you cut it, large caps, small caps, tech, I mean, we have seen tremendous gains in the equity market so far this year. If you're an investor, you're crazy not to kind of maybe bank some, put some on the side, and wait to see how 2020 starts to kick off.
Sure, that's true. But remember, we're coming off of a fourth quarter of 2018 where the market was down almost 20% on the S&P, I think 19% or so.
Right.
So we had a correction right before that. So the gains look fantastic. But again, we're coming off of a big pullback right before those gains started.
That's a good point, right? Because we had a tremendous sell-off. So we just kind of gained back that ground.
Right, to some extent.
Yeah, to some extent. All right. So let's talk about where you might be putting, though, new money to work at this point. I mentioned there's two names, and I was looking into them. Pets among them, FRPT. Talk to us a little bit about this company.
Sure. So at Kayne Anderson, the thing we're focused on most is finding high-quality companies with sustainable competitive advantages. And one of the ones we found was Freshpets, about a $2 billion market cap company. And I think that the humanization of pets is a long-term secular trend. People are spending more of their disposable income on their pets. And one of the ways they're doing that is through fresh pet food. So fresh pet food is taking share from traditional pet food, but it's still small, relatively, about 3% of the overall market. And Freshpet is the dominant player in the refrigerated pet food industry. They have better distribution than a lot of other companies, but the really key thing that they've done is they spent about $70 million to install and maintain these refrigerators at retailers, which creates a really big barrier to entry because they've already committed that square footage to Freshpet. And the refrigerators make a lot of sense for the retailers. They raise sales per square foot about 20% at traditional retailers and about 60% at like the pet specialty stores. And with Freshpet, we like the growth opportunity still from here because if you look at their ACV, which is a measure of overall penetration, it's at about 49%. And they believe that can go to 75 or 80% longer term. And then they also believe there's additional refrigerator capacity at stores where they have refrigerators already.
Yeah. I'm curious when you bought into this. I mean, this stock was up almost 20% in 2016. Almost 87% in 2017, up 70% last year. And as I mentioned, it has really had quite a gain this year. It's up 82%. So when did you first get into this name?
We first got into it at the beginning of 2019.
At the beginning of 2019. Taking any money off the table as a result, or you're staying in and adding?
No, not yet. I mean, one of the things that we like to do is water our flowers and pull our weeds. And when a stock is running, you know, we don't feel, unless there's anything wrong with the fundamentals of the business, we don't feel like selling on valuation has been something that's rewarded us longer term.
I do wonder, too, if part of the interest in this name, and I won't even talk about the forward PE on this, it's over 5,000%. How much of the story here is a potential takeout by one of the existing consumer product companies that are already in the pet industry?
I mean, I won't say that we're not aware of it. There's been a lot of other players in this industry that have been taken out.
Yeah.
But I don't think that it's necessarily required as part of to make the valuation work. I think it trades at like 30 times 2020 EBITDA, and the EBITDA is growing at 50%. So it's not something that we think is wildly overvalued if you look at it from an EBITDA basis.
All right. Going to switch gears a little bit. I mentioned that insurance was another area that you like. Again, not a household name, but nonetheless something that you're interested in. Ticker is GSHD, Goosehead Insurance. They're based in Texas. The stock is up about 67%. What's the play here?
Yeah, so this is something, you know, we like to do at Kayne Anderson is find these names that are off the radar, that are in the early stages of growth, that the investment community hasn't necessarily caught on to yet. And Goosehead was another one we found recently. It's about $1.5 billion market cap. And this is a personal lines insurance broker, so they don't take any underwriting risk. They and their franchisees sell policies from other carriers, and mostly it's personal lines, so think homeowners and auto insurance. And they have a unique business model where they've separated their service and their sales components. So the franchisees can focus on sales and really outsource that whole back office function to Goosehead. And that the service organization they built is really top-notch. So they have net promoter scores above 80, which is about double the rest of the industry. And that's led to a high 80s retention rate and a lot of demand from real estate agents. That channel really likes the fact that this service organization helps closing rates for home sales, and the mortgage part of it is one of the main reasons why things fall out of escrow. And the other thing that they do is the multi-carrier offering increases the sales efficiency, and it allows the agents to sell the best fit products for their customers. We've seen one of the unique kind of features of the business is that Goosehead collects 20% of premiums in the first year, but 50% on renewals and upsells done by the agents. So the financial characteristics lend themselves to a natural uplift of growth and profitability as the business ages.
This is really cool. And I was just, you know, you guys have what, I think more than $30 billion in assets under management. And It's fascinating, though. I always find it's interesting. And our Dave Wilson, who follows the stock markets for us, always finding some of these smaller cap plays. I mean, there's a lot of names out there that certainly are of interest. This one in particular, Goosehead, how long have you been holding this one?
So this one we've only held for maybe 2 quarters now or so.
Did they just go public?
I actually don't know. It hasn't been public for that long.
Yeah. I think it went public actually in April of 2018. So I was just curious in terms of how they've been around. What's the criteria that you essentially look for when you're choosing a name, Chris, and thinking about getting into it?
So the first and foremost thing that we're looking at is something sustainable, differentiated, proprietary that will allow the company to maintain or grow its margins and cash flow profitability over time. And what we find is that the businesses that are able to do that turn out to be superior long-term investments.
All right. Going to leave it on that note. Really appreciate getting to check in with you on this Tuesday. Chris, have a great holiday. Chris Allen Brewster, he is research analyst at Kayne Anderson Rudnick, joining us on the phone from Los Angeles.